Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. We have a very special edition of Real Money with David Holland lined up for you. And let me just dive right in here. Our guest today is chairman and editor-in-chief of Forbes Media, which publishes Forbes Magazine with a circulation of nearly 1 million readers. Combined with Forbes Asia, Europe, and the company's licensed editions, and the magazine reaches close to 6 million global readers. And Forbes.com, of course, also reaches 70 million unique monthly visitors. And our guest has also been one of the Republican contenders for president. So we are, of course, talking about Mr. Steve Forbes. And Steve is the son of longtime Forbes publisher Malcolm Forbes and the grandson of that publication's founder, B.C. Forbes. And he has been also, amongst all the other things he's been doing, also written several books. And the latest out, Reviving America, How Repealing Obamacare, Replacing the Tax Code, and Reforming the Fed Will Restore Hope and Prosperity. Well, please say it so, Steve. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you.
I'm glad you're with us. Thank you for taking some time with us. And so let's just dive right in there. You know, everybody hopes for a revitalization of this country, and there are a lot, of course, competing ideas and policy initiatives and people with all sorts of different agendas. So in a nutshell, I know that you, of course, have run for president yourself in the past. That was twice. And you have your own ideas, and a lot of them very popular, about how to achieve that. But in a nutshell, what would you say to our listeners about how can we revive our economy and our country?
Well, that's why we wrote the book, which you mentioned, Reviving America, was to do the big three reforms. On getting this economy truly moving again. As you know, we're stuck in second gear.
Yeah.
Just can't seem to move forward. We get a good economic report followed by a disappointing one. And so there's a lot of anxiety and frustration out there that we can't get this economy back in high gear. The big three, we start with health care, Obamacare, because health is about 18 to 20% of the economy.
Sure.
People are across the political spectrum are frustrated. You go to a hospital, you wonder whether the specialists talk to one another, whether the hospitalists talk to one another when they change shifts. When you say, don't put a drug on, certain medication for your aunt, they end up doing it anyway. So there's a lot of frustration about cost, about attention to patient care and the like.
Yeah.
And so we analyze it as the problem is that it's all a third-party payer system.
Mm.
By third-party payer, we mean the real customers are the insurance companies, the bureaucracy, and, of course, employers play a huge role. But the patient ends up at the end of the line.
Yeah, that's
the
true.
The proof of it is the lack of free markets. The proof of it is when you go to a clinic or hospital and you ask in advance, what treatment's going to cost, you get a very strange look. It means one of two things. Either you're uninsured or you're just plain crazy. Why would you want to know the price they ask?
What's
for you? Just let the insurance company take care of it. So we propose a series of reforms to put the patient back in charge, everything from nationwide shopping for health insurance, equalized tax treatment so companies don't get a more of a tax advantage than you as an individual, equal the playing field there. Having more transparency, having hospitals and clinics post prices for all of their services and treatments. So if a hospital charges $2,000 for an MRI and you find another one that can do a similar one for $500, that can be very valuable information to consumer patients. And transparency in things like death from infections.
Mm-hmm.
Hospitals should post each month how many patients die from infections received after they enter the hospital, after they're admitted to the hospital. It's quite shocking. So these basic reforms will go a long ways to getting real consumerism, real entrepreneurship, and the patient finally being sovereign.
Well, you know, there's a great analogy, Steve, you made me think of as you were describing that. And you're right. It's the third party system and the consumer is not directly involved. And they're kind of, you know, again, just a patient in the process. And so you know, it made me think of when you buy a car and how much people do research on the cars. They look at the reviews. They look at how reliable are they, what their warranties are, the problems. And then when they go to buy them, they don't just pay. Most people don't just pay the sticker price. You know, there's a process there of negotiation. So when you're actually writing the check or going to be the one paying the bill, you're much more involved. And I think that, you know, there's something we could borrow from that analogy for healthcare for sure.
Absolutely. And the proof of where the patient lies in this food chain is that the crummiest motel in America wouldn't dare put you in a room with another guest with a curtain in between. They routinely do in a hospital.
Yeah.
Or give you a robe that looks like it came from a Salvation Army dump.
Hey, listen, I've put one of those robes on before. I think they're made of paper, if you ask me. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
But, healthcare is basic. If we do these reforms, we turn what looks like a hopeless liability in terms of financial obligations now and in the future into the most dynamic industry ever, because growth industry ever, because healthcare is personal.
Sure.
And by getting real free markets in there. Yeah, you know, we know free markets always turn scarcity into abundance if they're allowed to do so. We see that with smartphones today. As you know, the first one for Motorola cost $3,995. Now you can get a perfectly good smartphone way beyond just voice for $100, $150, soon going down to $50.
Right. Well, you know what? We'll wrap here on the healthcare because I know we've got some other subjects to get to. But you know, the other thing that is not—it's already being done in healthcare. Some of this consumerism, or where the consumer is directly involved in it, and a great example of that is in the things that the insurance companies don't pay for. You know, the elective,
exactly.
The plastic surgery. So think about the research that people do for plastic surgery and looking at outcomes, looking at price. And I've had people tell me, oh, no, I'm going to this other place. I'm going, you know, to another country because I can get it for less than getting it here in the United States, because they are using their own dollar. So they're being very careful. And we got to put the consumer back in control.
Yeah, and one of the things about healthcare is if you start to get a patient-oriented rational system, is you also have more effective safety nets instead of the hodgepodge system we have today.
That's true.
And we do it for food with food stamps and food banks. No reason why we can't have a sensible system in healthcare. So you don't have to worry about if you get a chronic condition or something goes terribly wrong that you're going to be left on the side.
Good point. And, you know, the other question, this would be a little bit of a devil's advocate question that maybe people have on their mind, Stephen. If we replace or unplug Obamacare because it's not working or it's not achieving, and there's an Investor Business Daily editorial out recently here that had a number of statistics talking about how the insurers are having to raise prices, and it's not working maybe as originally planned. What do you say to the folks out there that say, well, if we get rid of Obamacare, people are going to lose coverage? What then do we do about that part of it?
Well, they won't lose coverage because you're going to have insurers willing to go after real customers and real markets. You can couple it with the safety net of, what they call high-risk pools.
Okay.
Where if you can't get insurance, like they do in many states with automobiles, you get a subsidized premium for insurance and get away from these plans on the Obama exchanges.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about some of these bronze plans.
Right.
Yes, they subsidize the premium.
Right.
But the deductibles are so catastrophically high,
sure.
People are getting less access to health care than they had when they had no insurance.
There'll be
plenty of insurance out there, insurers willing to write policies, especially when they know that you are the one in charge.
Yeah.
They have to satisfy you, the patient, not the government, not the employer. You're sovereign.
That's true.
So no safety net's going to go away.
Right, okay.
In fact, we'll start to get a more rational system where consumers have real choice. Choosing your own insurance policy. Why shouldn't you be able to choose your own policy, what you want in it? For example,
right.
I'm 68. I don't need pregnancy services. Never have, never will.
I hope not. That would be weird. Well, you know, one final thought, and we'll get to another subject, Steve, is another example of, you know, the free market working is you have some doctors that have what they call this concierge-type practice, and the patient pays an extra premium, like a membership, directly to the doctor. And you know what? Those people are already having a major choice with the healthcare, and the doctor-patient relationship is very different than maybe others out there under the insurance model.
That's right. And when you have a system that is geared to the patient, you don't get the feeling you have today when you go into a overworked doc who spends half his time filling out paperwork like a bureaucrat. You won't have this hurried feeling where, you know, you doc's under pressure.
Yeah.
You're under pressure. Get it all out because you only have 5 minutes. It's an unpleasant experience for everybody.
Yeah, don't get me started on that one, Steve. I've walked out of more than one doctor office. If you're just joining us, Mr. Steve Forbes is on the line, chairman and editor of in chief of Forbes Media, and he has another great book out, Reviving America. We're getting a taste of it today. Reviving America, How Repealing Obamacare, Replacing the Tax Code, and Reforming the Fed Will Restore Hope and Prosperity. We're going to get to the tax code and the Fed right after this quick break and word from our sponsors.
Hello, this is Brenda Campbell, general manager at Volusia Memorial Funeral Home and Cemetery, a Dignity Memorial provider. We are committed to service beyond expectation before, during, and after the service. To that end, we offer a service guarantee. If there's anything we can do to meet your individual needs, please let us know and we'll take care of it immediately. This is another way we offer great level of professionalism in working with our families. We can be reached at 386-673-5373 or our website, VolusiaMemorialFunerals.com. Volusia Memorial Funeral Home in Port Orange and Ormond Beach. Life well celebrated.
The Rice and Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, president and managing partner of Rice and Rose. The Rice and Rose Law Firm has a department dedicated to estate planning, wills, trusts, and probate. We also provide legal guidance if you need a power of attorney, living will, or health care surrogate. Contact the Rice and Rose Law Firm at our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222 or visit our website at ricerosenlaw.com.
Hello, this is David Holland. You already know from listening to this program that I'm very careful about my financial advice. It will come as no surprise then that I feel the same way about my other recommendations. If you love traditional, authentic Greek food as much as I do, then there's just one place to go, the Greek Town Taverna at 150 North Nova Road in Ormond Beach. It's just around the corner from my office, so you'll see me there for lunch at least a couple times a week. They've got stuffed grape leaves, gyros, lamb chops, octopus, and baklava. You can find all of these wonderful homemade Greek favorites every day of the week. They offer a wide variety of wine and beer to pair with your meal as well. Visit GreekTownTaverna.com or call 386-944-9526 for more information. I'll see you there. And we are back with Steve Forbes on the line, twice a candidate for the nomination of the Republican Party for president, 1996 and 2000. I remember that. That wasn't that long ago, Steve. I remember you running.
Yes, well, to us it was only yesterday. But
that's right.
Younger people have a different perspective.
You're not planning anything at the convention, are you?
No, that week of the convention, I'm going to be taking our grandchildren to Hershey Park in Pennsylvania.
I think that's a much better place to be. There won't be as many fireworks.
You're right.
Well, listen, I want to get back to the heart of the book you've written, Reviving America, How Repealing Obamacare, Replacing the Tax Code, and Reforming the Fed Will Restore Hope and Prosperity, because, I mean, all of those things are what people want, and I know we could spend hours talking about just health care, but I want to turn our attention to the tax code. Now, I know that you are definitely a fan and a proponent of making it simpler and easier. And so I have to start with another one of these devil's advocate listener questions that somebody out there might be thinking, Steve, is, well, hey, listen, you know, come on, what's wrong with the tax code? Can't we just make a few changes and not rip it all out by the roots? I mean, can't we just make some amendments to make it better?
Well, the tax code is an absolute monstrosity, a source of huge corruption, political power. Because it's so complex, you have to go to politicians to get help. The IRS doesn't know what's in the code. You call their hotline. If they deem to answer it, a fourth to a third of the time, they give you the wrong answer and hold you responsible for it.
Yeah.
And a couple of years ago, the head of a tax writing committee in Congress made a good faith effort before he retired to amend and try to rationalize the current tax code. his bill came to almost 1,000 pages.
Well, there you go.
1,000 pages to simplify something, you got a problem. So this thing was not designed by any rational human being. It's just a playground for special interests. It's become a source of a real aggravation and a huge waste of brain power. The IRS, for example, it estimates we spend 6 billion hours a year, 6 billion, filling out tax forms.
Mm.
We spend over $200 billion complying with this code. Now, just think of over the last 20 years, if those tens of billions of hours, trillions of dollars, all that immense brain power had been applied to new products, new services, new medical devices, new medical cures, how much better our lives would have been. So we advocate in the book, throw the thing out, start over with a simple flat tax, where literally you could do your tax return with a few keystrokes on the computer or a piece of paper, do it in a few minutes, and be done with it. And what we propose is a single rate, 17%. That applies only after generous exemptions for adults and for children. A family of four, for example, under our plan, would pay no federal income tax on their first $52,800
wow.
of wages.
Okay.
Above that, you'd pay only 17 cents on the dollar. There'd be no tax on savings, no death taxes. We believe you should be allowed to leave the world unmolested by the IRS. Do the same thing on the business side. Cut the rate from 35 to 17. Make our business tax code from one of the worst in the world to just about the best. Instant expensing for capital expenditures. You do that. Not only do you have a simplified code, not only do you remove a huge source of lobbying and corruption in Washington, but also more resources go to things to make our lives better.
Well, a lot of money comes back on shore, too.
Have done it, so
yeah.
Why not us?
Yeah, and a lot of money comes back to the United States from overseas, too, right? I mean, all these corporations that are...
You would be having a flood, not only corporations, but you think the Chinese are trying to get money out now.
Yeah.
What if we have that flat tax and a stable dollar? My God, you know, China will be empty of money.
A few Swiss bankers may not be happy very, very much either with money leaving there and coming back. Well, you know, the thing that I struggle with, and I know you have a better vantage point on this, Steve, is this whole concept of quote-unquote paying your fair share, and that being an argument for the progressive tax system we have. And the concern I have about that is whenever you use the word fair, that means somebody needs, that's an opinion. Somebody has to adjudicate that. Somebody has to say what's fair and what's not. And I much prefer the idea of equal not being fair, because some of us here are fair, that we think that means equal, but that doesn't necessarily hold true when you have thousands and thousands of pages and all of the special interests you mentioned before.
Yeah, and it comes down to politics.
Yeah.
In Washington or in the state capital, who's got the clout determines how those decisions go. So make it above board, simple. Everyone can see what you're doing. You make it, you pay it.
Yeah.
All income is taxed once at the source. And the so-called progressive code, it's designed in a way where if your pay goes up 10%, unless you got a good lawyer, if your pay goes up 10%, your liability, tax liability, because of the progressivity of the code, you get kicked into a higher tax bracket,
goes up,
say, 15%. So the government always comes out ahead. That's not right.
I think that the other thing that would be achieved if we did have something that was a lot simpler and people felt really that it was more fair, that I think the cheating would not be as much. I've seen people over the years, I'm sure you've heard of it as well, Steve, where people play games just to get what they feel like is basically giving themselves their own tax cut because they think it's too high.
Yeah, and it just gives, you point out, a greater sense of fairness.
Yeah.
And people spend less time trying to get around it because it's just not worth their time.
Exactly.
Not worth the hassle.
And that really is the heart of it. Hmm. Steve Forbes, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just joining us, chairman and editor-in-chief of Forbes Media, and the book, latest in a series, actually has a number of other ones as well, How Capitalism Will Save Us, Freedom Manifesto, and Money, and the latest, Reviving America, How Repealing Obamacare, Replacing the Tax Code, and Reforming the Fed Will Restore Hope and Prosperity. And we're going to grab another quick break. We'll come back and talk about the Fed. What in the world are we talking about? If you're not familiar, stay right there, and you'll know after this quick word from our sponsors.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Get the gift of opportunity. Support the Y.
For more information on what your Y does and how you can help, visit vfymca.org/give.
The Y, for a better us.
Hey, David Holland here. I'd like you to listen closely to a few words from my good friends, Tony Papandrea and Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation.
Hi, I'm Tony, chairman of the Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation. If you need more income now with some tax advantages and would like to leave a future benefit for Florida Hospital Hospice Care, a charitable gift annuity might be a good fit for you. Learn how to include charitable gift annuities in your financial planning. They could benefit you with higher tax advantage yields than you are getting now and benefit Florida Hospital Hospice Care later. Call us at 386-586-4440 for more information.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dan Drake. My staff and I have enjoyed delivering excellent, lasting dental care to countless patients for many years. We are a modern dental practice offering a full range of services, including cosmetic, implant, Invisalign, and general dentistry. Additionally, I'm one of only a few dentists licensed to perform IV sedation, sleep dentistry to help those of you who are anxious. My belief and commitment is to deliver outstanding dental care and positive patient experiences. We look forward to serving you. If you have a dental question or concern, don't hesitate to call us at 386-673-1611 or visit AtlanticDentists.com.
Hi, this is David Holland. I've been going to Dr. Drake's office for over 20 years. I trust them, and you can too.
Are you looking for a trustworthy local advisor for your investment and retirement planning, but you're not sure how or where to begin? Start by looking for a certified financial planner practitioner. Visit www.cfp.net to search for an advisor in your local area who's earned this highly regarded professional certification. Pick three CFP practitioners. Set an appointment and interview them. Ask questions. Listen carefully to their answers. Check references and research their firms with the Better Business Bureau. This PSA is brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And we are back. Steve Forbes on the line with us, chairman and editor-in-chief of Forbes Media, and carrying on the family tradition of running that organization, Forbes.com, of course, a great resource. We're already always on the website, Steve, getting ideas for radio programs and great articles written by a lot of wonderful contributors. So we're following that closely. I'm glad to have you back to talk to us about the Fed. Now, a lot of people, you know, they're much more familiar with maybe healthcare and taxes, of course, but the Federal Reserve is kind of this thing that sits out there that, quite candidly, most people don't know what it is and don't know what it does and how it affects our everyday lives.
Well, that's right, and that's why the Fed, the Federal Reserve System, as they call it, our so-called central bank, has amassed such power and is able to do things that end up doing immense harm to the economy, and no one calls them to account on it. Most people in Congress don't understand it. Economists like you to believe that it's beyond your understanding. But what the Fed is trying to do is control our economy by manipulating interest rates, by trying to manipulate the money supply. And this, you know, they tried that in the Soviet Union. And so today the Federal Reserve suppresses interest rates. That sounds great. Oh, I get free money.
Right.
But it's like the old Soviet Union where the saying was the health care is free, but you can't get any.
Right, right.
By deforming the money markets, the credit markets, the banking system, big companies have no problem getting money. Government has no problem. But small and new businesses suffer. They're the job creators. You know, just to give you one statistic, in the last 5 years through 2014, credit to government grew 37%, credit to corporations 32%, credit to small businesses and households only 6%.
Wow.
And in a so-called recovery, that is a disaster, which is one reason why the labor market, yes, it's had some improvement since then, but overall it's in the worst shape it's been in the 40 years, people being underemployed or can't get the job
right.
They should have.
Well, I'm not hearing a lot of reports about tons of new businesses being started, let alone small business owners. And, you know, we hear about the unemployment rate and how it's, you know, and of course nobody even talks about the participation rate, but the unemployment rate and a lot of those, a couple hundred thousand jobs or whatever it is that's added in a given month, a lot of them are at the very low end They're not necessarily high income kind of jobs, and it's
a
certainly
lot of them are part time jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
Too.
So we're not seeing necessarily we're not falling worse, but we're certainly not seeing a robust recovery. And so what are some of your thoughts? We've got a couple minutes left here, Steve, with you. What are some of your thoughts for what we can do or what should be done about the Fed to have it be really, you know, better for everyday Americans?
Well, one, have the Fed start running down, as they call it, their bloated portfolio. You know, the Fed is bought by money they create out of thin air. They've, in effect, extracted $3.5 trillion of assets, bonds, from our economy.
Mm.
They should, when those bonds mature, the Fed should not reinvest that money, but let it go back to the banking system and be lent to people who are going to make productive use of it. They should stop trying to manipulate interest rates, trying to run the economy. And ultimately, I think we're going to go to something we did for 180 years in this country, from the time of George Washington. And that is a gold standard.
Mm.
Gold is like a ruler. Just make sure that the dollar has a steady value. When you see the price of gold change, that's not the intrinsic value of gold changing. That is the value of the dollar changing.
Right.
And we had a gold standard for 180 years. We had much higher growth rates than we've had since. And it worked for us. It's worked in other countries. It's tried it for 4,000 years. So let's take it out of the hands of the politicians and have a dollar with a stable value, just like you have 60 minutes in an hour.
Right.
You don't float the number of minutes in a clock each day. You know, 30 minutes one day in an hour, 50
right.
minutes the next, 60 the day after, 20 the day after that. Life would be chaotic. Just imagine baking a cake. You had a floating clock. You know, it says bake the batter 30 minutes. You have to figure those inflation-adjusted minutes, are those nominal minutes, are they Florida minutes, Mexican
right.
minutes? Be chaotic. That's what they've done to the economy. And then people wonder why we're stuck in second gear.
Yeah, and you can't do quantitative easing or create $4 trillion if you're on a gold standard.
No. It's like having 12 inches in a foot.
Right.
Or 16 ounces in a pound. And you buy a pound of cheese or a gallon. Gallon size doesn't change each day. But dollar's value should not change each day.
All right. Well, I tell you what, we'll definitely have to have people read the book because there's lots more here we can't get to on a radio interview. But Steve Forbes, ladies and gentlemen, has been our guest, chairman and editor-in-chief of Forbes Media. And the latest book out from Steve is Reviving America, How Repealing Obamacare, Replacing the Tax Code, and Reforming the Fed Will Restore Hope and Prosperity. And I pray that that's true, Steve, and we'll definitely look for the book and all the press that we'll receive. And really appreciate you being on the program with us today.
Enjoy it, David. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.